You may go ahead. The recording just started. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Glenn, would you be able to start with a roll call of the people on the call, please?
Certainly, Avery. I will start with the council members. Mike Rodenbach.
Here.
Bilal Baran has said that he will be absent. Philip Shepherd. Uta Decker will be absent. Christina Rosette. Cyril Chua. Chua. Tony Harris.
I'm here.
Greg Ruth.
Here.
Apologies from Tony Holmes. Robin Gross.
Present.
Norbert Klein.
I am here.
Mwaki Chango. Adrian Kindris is absent with apologies. Ross Rader.
Hello.
Tom Keller.
Hi.
Terry Cobb.
Here.
Edmund Chun. Chuck Gomes.
Here.
John Bing is absent with apologies. Avery Doria.
Here.
Sophia Bekele. And then we have Alan Greenberg.
Here.
As liaison, apologies from Suzanne Sen. And for staff, we have Olaf Nordling.
Present.
We have Denise Michel.
Yes.
Dan Halloran. Kurt Pritz.
Sure.
Patrick Jones will be late. Craig Schwartz. I think Craig's on mute. Liz Gaster.
Here.
Carla Valente.
I'm here.
And from the board, we have Rita Roden.
Hello, everyone.
And as guests, we have Olga Cavalli as an observer who will be the new nominating committee appointee. And we have Tim Ruiz who will be the new registrar representative. And then we have Ray Fassett and John Nevitt for the LA planning session. Have I missed anybody?
Okay. Thank you, Glenn, and welcome to everybody, especially welcome to the guests, to Carla, and especially to our two incoming council members, Olga and Tim. Really glad to have you here and have you on the phone call. The next thing I wanted to do was go through the agenda. I'm not sure what version you all have. There's a couple changes to it that I want to walk through before we continue with the rest. The first thing will be the update of any statements of interest. Then we'll do the approval of three sets of minutes, the minutes for 30 August, the minutes for 6 September, and the minutes for 20 September. Then after that, we're going to go into the LA GTLD workshop planning, since we invited several of the panelists, people who worked with us on the committee, to be here for the meeting, so we decided we would put that up front just to make things easier. Then after that, I'd like to stick an item into the agenda that follows from some of the discussions we've been having this morning that has to do with discussions on PDP timings, and I've crafted a motion that I'm going to offer that is available for people if they want to check out on the motions work page, and we'll get to that later. Then we go into discussion of the intergovernmental organizations dispute resolution process. Then we go to the domain tasting report and decisions on next steps. Then we have the registrar transfer policy plan. Then we have any other business, assuming we still have time for any other business, and a review of the action item review that I sent out. And I already know that there's some corrections to make to it since I got it. Does anybody have any questions, comments, or corrections with the agenda as I just spoke it? Okay, thanks. In which case, then, we will continue on that agenda. Coming to agenda one, do any of the council members have an update to their statement of interest, I want to point out that at the request of legal counsel, I did update mine since the last meeting, as did Sonia Bekele. She did it on her own. She was not requested to do it. Does anyone have any updates to their statement of interest that they'd like to make at this point? Okay, if there's no questions on that issue. The next thing is approval of draft council minutes for 30 August 2007. I move that those meetings be approved. Is there a second?
I'll second it. Chuck.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the meeting minutes of 30 August? Okay, and if there's no discussion, I'd like to ask for a voice vote on it. Would all those in favor of those minutes please say aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Would anyone of minutes please say nay? No nays. Does anyone wish to abstain from this vote? Okay, thank you. Moving on to the minutes of 6 September, I move that those minutes be accepted. Is there a second?
Second. Chuck.
Thank you. Are there any discussions or comments on those minutes? Okay, hearing no discussion, I'd like to ask for a voice vote. Would all those in favor of those minutes please say aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Would all those opposed to those minutes please say nay? Hearing no nays, are there any abstentions from this vote? No abstentions? Okay, thank you. The minutes are accepted. And finally, the minutes from 20 September 2007. I move that those minutes be accepted. Is there a second?
I'll second it again.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on those minutes? Okay, if there's no discussion, I'd like to ask for a voice vote. Would all those in favor of those minutes please say aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Would all those opposed to those minutes please say nay? Would anyone like to abstain from this vote? Hearing nothing, those minutes have also passed. Thank you all. It's really good to be able to get three sets of minutes out. We've had trouble getting all the quorums together to do that. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the LA GTLD workshop planning, which Chuck has been leading. So, Chuck, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Aubrey.
Just the record, let you know Philip has now joined the call after.
Welcome, Philip.
After a lovely 10-minute wait, came. And you've moved agenda items around, I take it, have you?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Hopefully, everyone got a chance last week to review the draft workshop plans that we submitted for council comment. And I'm going to go through parts of that, not verbatim, because I know you can all read, but I want to at least discuss the main items and key things that we all need to be aware of for the workshop. Now, the small group that's been working on this finalize the plans, or at least the part of the plans that we're going to go over today, on Monday after the request for comments ended for counselors. And so what we're going over is what we've agreed on. Now, there's one pending change that I'll talk about when we go through it, but let me just start. I think everybody knows the workshop scheduled for 6 hours on Monday afternoon, the 29th of October, from 1 to 7. The primary goals of the workshop are really twofold. One of the things we want to make sure the community understands the recommendations that we have made, including the principles and implementation guidelines, and how we got there, including issues that were debated and minority positions, et cetera. Secondly, we want to provide opportunity for the community to, for members of the community to share their own comments for the board's benefit, because the board will be supposedly taking action on that in Los Angeles. Now, just a quick reminder of who participated in that little in the little group. Adrian Kinderis, Aubrey, myself, Christina Rosette, and then from staff, Craig Schwartz, Denise Michelle, Karen Lentz, Carla Valenti, and Kirk Pritz. So we've held quite a few meetings. We have more to come as we lead up to L.A. Now, please stop me at any time if you have questions or if anybody that's been on that group wants to add anything. As far as general guidelines, I'm not going to go through all of them, but I do want to call attention to several of them. Number three of the general guidelines, we're really trying to achieve a good balance between panel audience participation, realizing that some items, because they're less controversial or more readily accepted by most people, will, you know, probably not generate much discussion and will be mainly presentation, while others will generate lots of discussion. We will be giving opportunity for participants in the workshop to make comments and to ask questions about our presentations and the report and so forth. Now, one of the things that this small group advocates is avoiding re-debate of the issues by the panel or the council members. And we hope that we can get good cooperation from all of the council members and the panel members in this regard. This is not a forum for the GNSO to re-debate issues that we've already spent a lot of time on. Rather, it's the intent is to help the community understand what we're recommending, how we got there, what issues we considered, and the rationale for deciding the way we did. That does not mean that council members can't voice their opinion, but we hope that will be brief, and we hope that the presentation that will be presented will cover the main issues in that regard. Skipping down to number seven, let me read that one because I think it's fairly important. Counselors, members of the committee, and ICANN staff members who are not on the panel, we're probably going to ask you to sit in a particular section up front, and you'll be encouraged to participate if you're not on a panel with audience participants during the interactive session. And a special microphone is going to be set up for that purpose that'll be just restricted for counselors and committee members and staff that are not on the current panel. Now, we're going to ask all of you, on the panel or not, to try and set good examples when you do participate by being brief and to the point. We're quite sure that we're going to have trouble with time, even though we have 6 hours, and that may seem strange to some people, but there is a lot to cover. We hope that everyone that does participate, whether from at the special mic or on the panel, will really make efforts to add additional clarity regarding what the committee decided and how we arrived at our position and avoid repeating things that have already been said. We think it's a good goal for all of us to aim to reinforce the decisions made by the committee and the council. And by that, we don't mean that you have to agree, but we are there to present the supermajority recommendations of the committee, so it's important to reinforce that the council did decide what it did. And then item D there, again, avoid using this forum to reattempt to make changes that were not accepted in the PDP work by the council. The council has already made its decision. It's now in the board's hands, so it's important that we communicate to the board the various issues and opinions that were expressed, but this is not a forum for counselors and panel members to re-debate the issues. Now, in that regard, again, we do expect that people from the community will be voicing their opinions and asking questions and challenging the things that we did, and that's part of the interaction that we're going to have. But hopefully that won't happen on the council, by council members or the panel. Number eight, we recommend that all council members support the recommendations in a way that is constructive, our goal being to increase understanding of the thought processes that we went through to get to the final recommendations. Number nine, we're going to really strongly discourage reading long portions of the report and instead encourage people in the meeting, whether online or live, to read hard copies of information that will be provided at the meeting, or if they're online, in the meeting itself, to refer them, we will refer them to sections of the full report or the summary report that was just distributed, or a cheat sheet or a quick reference guide that is being prepared. So rather than reading lengthy things, we will point people to sections that they can read on their own. And we're going to, in the communications that are a part of leading up the process leading up to the workshop, staff is using several venues to try and get the word out, encourage people to read the summary document, the full report, et cetera. The summary document's much shorter and provides a means where people don't have to go through the very lengthy Part A and Part B of the report, and at the same time can still go to that as they have time and can. Any questions so far? Okay, then I want to talk a little bit about the session breakdown. And again, hopefully all of you have seen this. And this is one area where I have just yesterday proposed a few changes. And the reason I did that is in working on a draft presentation that will be used, one of the things that became very clear is that we had contractual conditions. Really, even though session one was supposed to cover contractual conditions, some of the contractual conditions were in session two. So they were mixed between the two sessions. And secondly, the way it's looking was that session one is going to be fairly, a little bit longer, was going to be longer in presentation time, with probably quite a few comments. Session two was probably going to be the shortest session by far, and session three we expect to be the longest because it contains the more controversial recommendations. So what I did, and let me make very clear that the small working group has not endorsed this yet because I just suggested it yesterday. So we may revert back to the previous organization. But basically what I did is I moved all of the contractual related issues to session two, moved the non-contractual ones from session two up to session one, so that I think we have a little bit more coherent organization of the three sessions, and also better time balance between the three sessions, because there will be a break between the first and second session and between the second and third session. Now, I won't go over that, the detail of the sessions right now unless people want me to. Any questions or comments on that?
I have a question, Tony Harris.
Yes, Tony.
Will the board members be able to attend, or are they secluded in some other meeting?
I'll let Rita, if she wants, to comment on that. But we have made every effort possible, and I say we, I mean the committee has encouraged this, but staff, Denise and her team, have done a very good job communicating with all supporting organizations, advisory groups, the board, to minimize any conflicts of meetings during this session. And if you look at the schedule that's posted, you'll see that there are minimal or maybe no conflicts. I think it's very minimal anyway. I believe that you're going to see strong participation from the GAC, from the board, as well as other supporting organizations and the advisory committees. Rita, would you like to comment regarding board participation in this?
Sure, Chuck, and I think it's a great question, Tony. Thanks for asking that. One of the things that Susan and her meetings committee has been working on, as well as a number of board members, is how to coordinate a little bit better during these meetings. Many of the board members, including myself, are often frustrated because we're all on a bunch of committees. I'm on four, and there's committee meetings that can get scheduled at the last minute where if we don't attend, we don't have a quorum, and yet there are important CNSO workshops, other things that board members really want to do, because we really want to be out in the community hearing from everyone directly what their concerns are. So what I'd love to do is, I'm now on the executive committee, and we're going to set the agenda for LA. If we can maybe get the schedule from you all of what you really think are important and where you really do want board member participation, and we'll make sure when we try to schedule other meetings for the board in LA that we keep those slots clear if we can. Also emphasize to board members that the council would like participation. I think that would be very helpful. It's tough for everybody, I know, to coordinate schedules, but particularly the board, because, as I said, most board members really do want to be out with the community, but there's just so many things that get scheduled and so many priorities that it's sometimes difficult. So I think it would be great if we could just get some sort of something from Aubrey, maybe, and then Bruce and I can pass along to the rest of the board that board presence would really be very strongly encouraged.
I'll certainly send you something. This is Aubrey. I'll certainly send you something specific. Obviously, what I'm mostly going to say is that there are this whole afternoon that is information that, you know, you may all find useful in terms of making the decision that you've got to make. And then I'll point out where some of the controversial stuff is, but I really don't want to just single that out. So as much of this block of time as many of the board members as can make it will be best, I believe.
This is Denise. The board members, as well as the other SOs and ACs, have been they've received three reminders now, and including a copy of the supplemental material that was just issued. So no other event has been as heralded as this. And Diane is holding this time on everyone's schedule. So I think you can all be really confident that if people want to come, their schedules will be free to attend. And board members have been very thoroughly encouraged to do so.
We're really going to try to give a very complete picture of the total package of recommendations. One of the things that several of us noted in San Juan, where we focused on just the controversial recommendations, was that that was productive, but you could tell by the comments and discussion that there was not a good understanding of the full package. And so while we're trying to do it briefly in terms of presentation so there's plenty of time for interaction, we're still going to try and cover all the principles and recommendations and implementation guidelines. How we got there, especially in cases where it was more controversial and took a lot of work. So because of the scope of what's involved in these recommendations, it's going to take a lot of time. And, of course, this is going to be the only comprehensive coverage of these recommendations that the board will presumably be acting on in their Friday meeting. So we do believe that it's very important that the board be there not only to make sure they understand what's being recommended and why and some of the issues involved, but also so that they can hear the public comments that are communicated regarding the recommendations, which obviously will play into their action on Friday.
I think that's great, Chuck. That will be super helpful. I know that many board members, you know, we always talk about wanting to make sure we hear all of the different comments from the different constituencies. I do think that it's very wise sort of not to rehash the discussion with the board there, but to kind of give them, here's the kind of varying points of view, and here's where, you know, we could not reach agreement on some of the more contentious issues, so then the board does have as complete a picture as possible when it starts deliberating.
Right.
Thanks for that.
And of course, board members will be able to ask questions during the session, during the open mic sessions as well, and just like they did in San Juan, so that will be helpful as well.
Great.
Okay. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is the panel members. There are a couple assumptions that we made as a small group in that regard. First of all, we felt like it was important having people on the panel who are topically prepared more than it is, that's more important than having people just representing constituencies. At the same time, we tried to get good balance across constituencies. We also felt like panel size should be kept to a minimum to maximize time efficiency. And the primary criterion that we used for panel members was selecting people who had significant participation in the new GTLD committee and not just working on some of the working groups that supported that committee. We have selected Krista Spain as the workshop moderator. Chris agreed to do that, and several of us in the small committee had a conference call with Chris yesterday to go over these workshop plans and answer his questions. And we will also be having some prep time in on Sunday afternoon, somewhere between 1 and 4 p.m. on Sunday afternoon, the day before the workshop, for final preparation that Chris will try to participate in along with the panel members who are there on that day. Then, as far as the panel participants, session one, and we've made one change in the panel participants based on if we move the contractual conditions over to session two, like I previously mentioned, that means that we believe it would be better for John Nevitt, representing the registrars, to be on the panel in session two, because one contractual condition moved from session one to session two is the one of the requirement to use ICANN accredited registrars. So here are the participants then in the panel. Session one, Tony Harris, Uta Decker, Mike Rodenbaugh, Avery, and myself. And as you'll see, Avery, myself, and Kirk Kritz will be on all three panels. Avery is chair, myself is vice chair, and of course both of us, as you know, participated in the entire new GTLD committee. And then Kurt Pritz will be the ICANN staff person on the panel. In session two, John, and that's the one for contractual conditions, John Nevitt, Ray Fassett, Milwaukee Chongo, Tony Harris, and then Avery and Kurt and I. And then session three, Robin Gross, Christina Rosette, John Bing, Marilyn Cade, plus the three of us already mentioned. And every one of these people have consented to participate on the panel. I'm not going to go through the logistical arrangements because you guys can read those on your own. As far as session breakdown, just very quickly, I will talk about session one, basically going to cover the selection process and introductory type information related to the report and to our recommendations. And then session two will cover contractual conditions, and session three will cover recommendations 3, 6, 12, and 20, 12 being the one that we're going to use dispute panels for a complaint or challenge process, and I think everybody knows what 3, 6, and 20 are. They're the ones that we spend huge amounts of time on and that are the most controversial. Now, in each case, we'll be talking about related implementation guidelines. Most of the all of the principles except for Principle G will be covered in Session 1. And Principle G will be covered in Session 3 because it relates to, very closely to those recommendations being discussed there. Staff will be providing as much information as they can in each session with regard to implementation, understanding that that is not going to be very complete because they can't work too much, at least in detail, until the board approves the recommendations. We all know that they've been spending a lot of time already on it, so they will provide what information they can, including in Session 1, an overview of what's happening with the draft RFP, a projected timeline, and whatever they can provide with regard to estimated costs, realizing that that information is going to be more fully developed after LA. And then in Session 2, with the contractual conditions issue, staff will provide an overview of where we're at with regard to the base contract. I think that's all I have, so let me see if there are any questions or comments.
Chuck?
Yes.
This is Aubrey. I wanted to add one thing. Maybe perhaps this was in the logistical, and that was that we were asking council members, or maybe you mentioned it and I didn't hear it, council members to sit in a front area where there would be an extra mic where they would be able to fill in if the panelists, you know, couldn't quite cover part of the discussion well enough, and that we had also asked Alan, as an ALAC member who participated a lot, to be available if he could in that group, and that I had spoken to Yanis Kalkins, chair of the GAC, about them having someone there who could speak to the GAC principles that informed some of the debates. And he had said that, you know, someone would be there, probably Bill D, who was the same person that we had the consultation with when we had questions.
Thank you, Aria. I very much appreciate you bringing that up, because I covered the part about sitting up front in the special mic, but I did not mention the having some representatives in that group, one from the GAC at least, and one from the ALAC. Now, Alan, is that good with you?
That's fine. The ALAC has adjusted its schedule, so we're not overlapping at all, and I'll be there for the whole meeting, as will, I presume, other ALAC members.
And that's what we were hoping. That's, of course, what we were hoping.
You, Avery was very effective.
Good job, Aubrey. And thanks, Alan, for the cooperation. Appreciate that very much. Anything else?
This is Ray Fassett.
Go ahead, Ray.
I have a question. So it's safe to assume as of today that as part of this workshop, a draft-based contract and a draft RFP will not be part of the agenda.
That is correct.
Okay. One real quick second question then. For example, in Session 2, there's of course one of the recommendations that says applications must be of a commercially reasonable length. Okay, I can expect a question from the audience such as, well, what did the committee come up with as a commercially? What number of years?
I can tell you what's in the draft presentation, and I should just talk about a minute on the draft presentation so everybody knows what's coming there. And I think you mean the commercially reasonable, the term in the contract,
yeah,
is what you're talking about. Of course, the recommendation is stated verbatim in the presentation, and it's mentioned that right now the draft contract that was posted several months ago, the draft base contract, uses a 10-term length.
Yeah, that's a good point, Chuck, that I forgot about, that there is a sort of a pre-draft contract out there now, right?
Yes. Now, and it's also important to understand, both with regard to the RFP and the base contract, the draft versions of those, once those are finished, which will be well after LA, they will be posted for public comment at that time. So we're not going to ask for comments on those in this session because they're not far enough along really to make that useful. But we do want to at least let people know where we're at and what they can expect going forward.
But just real quick, if the direct question is, if the committee itself did not define the exact number of years, then the guidance, the goal, the purpose is to allow staff to define what those exact number of years are, subject to a public comment process after those documents are produced. Is that reasonable?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Okay.
I get it.
And of course, there are lots of issues like that in the recommendations where, and in particular with the guidelines, where we made some suggestions. Now, in this case, we're talking about an actual recommendation, the commercially reasonable length. Where staff is having to do a lot of work and put some things on the table, and you're absolutely right. In this case, the final draft based contract and final draft RFP will be posted for public comment.
Okay. Thanks.
John Nevitt, did you have any questions since you're one of the panel members?
No, other than to express my disappointment that I will not be on the panel with Mike Rodenbaugh.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. But you get to be on a panel with Ray.
Other than that, I'm looking forward to it.
And you can be in the line at the microphone on the panel when Mike's there.
Thanks to everybody who has volunteered to be on the panel, and we'll be working with you, and hopefully, if you can't make the session in L.A. on Sunday afternoon, I'll be glad to meet with you at another time. Ray can't, I know, and I've mentioned that we can meet over breakfast on Monday if that helps, and if others want to do that are on the panel, I'm more than happy to arrange that. One last thing. The presentation, a draft presentation with just placeholder for staff slides on implementation was sent to the small working group late yesterday, and our goal in our meeting this coming Tuesday is to make any final changes we want to make to it. Then it would be distributed to the full council. And to panel members who aren't on the council, and to Chris as moderator for their review and comments before we finalize it. And so you'll probably see that presentation. It's a very long PowerPoint that will be distributed later in the day on next Tuesday, and you'll have a week or so to take a look at that and provide any input. Any questions?
Ray Fassett, one more comment.
Okay.
This document that we're going over right now seems to me very professional and very well done, very well thought out. I just wanted to thank the group for doing the work. There's a lot of work put into this.
Yeah, and the people on this group really have spent a lot of time, and several of them are involved in other very time-consuming activities at the same time. And so my compliments and thanks to all the efforts that everybody has put in, and do appreciate that.
Thanks. So I guess that ends this session. I'd like to just add one on this particular topic. I'd just like to add one thing about the amount of work we put in. We all put a lot of work in, but nothing compared to some of the work that some people like Chuck have put into this.
Oh, absolutely.
when he talks about a draft of the slides, yes, he's been doing that. And some of the staff folks, like Karen and others, have done an immense amount also. But I just wanted to point out that Chuck has done a lion's share of the work. Thank you. Okay. If there's nothing else on that one, I'd like to move on to some of the other items in the agenda. The next one was the item I added. Normally, I would add things under any other business at the end. However, this is the discussion of PDP timing that was basically prompted by the discussion we are having today. Today will we be talking about two different efforts that have had their issues reports, and that by strict timing of the bylaws, we need to vote today on whether to institute a PDP, and then after voting on to institute a PDP, If those votes succeed by at least 33%, then we need to vote on whether to form a task force or not. And if that doesn't succeed, then determine what we do next depending on how that goes. Now, in the discussion today, especially on the list actually yesterday and today, there's basically been two points of view. One of them has been that we should follow not only the processes in the PDP, which we have followed in our previous PDPs, but that we should also follow the timings, which would mean voting today, and then people probably saw the email I sent out that contained what the timeline would look like for the next 120 days. The other option that some people have spoken of is that we need a little bit more time to read and digest these issues reports before we vote, and that we should continue essentially to follow GNSO current practice, wait to vote on the next step until LA and such. Now, I wanted to basically open the discussion to the two options. I have offered a motion on the second option, if that seems to be the way that the group wants to go, that basically we continue to follow GNSO current practice of following the process details, but not necessarily the timings, but in keeping with something else that we've been doing lately, which is doing things deliberately, that we would also submit a statement to the board indicating that, you know, and I can read what I wrote and we'll come back to it later, the GNSO considers the timings contained in the bylaws impossible for a proper policy development process. This has been discussed in the LSC report and reinforced in many constituency statements on the topic of GNSO reform. Am I still there?
Yes, Aubrey, if I may interrupt, this is Ray Fast. I just wanted to let you know I'll be dropping off the call.
Oh, okay, thank you. Yes, I should have thanked you for attending. Bye. Thank you. In order to continue its PDP deliberative process while waiting for the final report from the Board Governance Working Group, the GNSO requests that the board vote to remove the timing requirements as currently defined in the bylaws. As we've been doing that lately, when we've slipped on something, we've deliberately voted an extra bit of time, et cetera. So I am basically suggesting that, but I'd like to open the discussion on this, and the reason I've put it up here is because it really determines what we do next for item four, the next two items on our agenda. So would anybody like to open up speaking on this? I'll take a cue. No, no one has any comments?
Oh, this is Chuck. I'll just say that I'm fine with your motion. I think it's an issue that that until GNSO improvements are implemented and the PDP is revised, that it's going to be an issue over and over again. So I think your idea is sound.
Would anyone else like to comment?
Philip here. I mean, I think it surely behoves us to stick as much as is practical to our existing bylaw mandated deadlines. In particular, I thought in starting processes, and if we discover, as we often have, that during those we need more time for outreach and discussion or expertise, then by all means we adjust as we've gone along. But I think that would seem to be the more cautious approach in order to ensure we comply as much as we can do, particularly, to say, with the starting of processes, and then make adjustments as we move along.
In that regard, Philip, even in the starting of processes, it's some of the time guidelines are sometimes problematic. Case in point is the domain tasting issue, where if we go literally by the guidelines, you know, it's going to be difficult for some of us to actually, not by the guidelines, but by the requirements in the PDP, it's going to be difficult for some of us where our constituencies really haven't had enough time to make a decision on this with regard to a PDP today, and yet our next meeting is going to be past the deadline for that. So, I agree with your approach that trying to meet the timelines that are there is a good objective, but I think even at the beginning there are some problems with regard to timing.
Chuck, it would also be the case, I think we would also have to vote on the IGO DRP today also.
Right.
That one's also on the timeline. Would anyone else like to speak?
Bruce Ross here.
Ross, who else? And then I heard Norbert. Who else in the queue? Mike, anyone else in the queue?
Christina.
Anyone else in the queue? Okay, go ahead, Ross.
I think you've laid out a pretty good proposal, Aubrey. My concerns are that we tend to let these timing considerations slip by implicitly, and I think with the benefit of explicit and discussed and agreed to action by the council, that it's reasonable for us to work with a more pragmatic and realistic set of timelines than what's outlined in those bylaws. It certainly wasn't my intention.
Want to get some coffee, okay?
Excuse me, somebody should put themselves on mute.
Thank you. It certainly wasn't my intention to imply that we must absolutely 100% follow these bylaws, but I'm very uncomfortable proceeding without some sort of explicit action that recognizes that we're acting outside of what's specified there. So I think you've laid out a very good approach.
Okay, thank you. Norbert?
Yeah, I just wanted to say we have from time to time these timing problems, and while we try to observe the timeline, I think it would be good really to document where we come into problems so that this could be used for some adjustments in our future regulations.
Okay, thank you. That's a good idea to sort of record our timings as we're slipping.
Yes.
Okay, Mike?
Just a quick comment. I think that some of the timings in the bylaws are okay, right? 20-day public comment periods, I would think 35 days to gather constituency statements, et cetera. Some of them are okay. So I don't like the motion in that it says that essentially all the timings are impossible.
Okay. Thank you. Christina.
I actually had points similar to those raised by Norbert and Mike. First, with regard to the point that Norbert made, I obviously don't have the institutional knowledge that many of those of us on the call right now do. But I, for one, would be really interested in knowing whether the council has ever been able to meet the PDP requirements, and to the extent that we haven't, to get at least just a rough sense as to how far we've been off so we can try and figure out what is reasonable. I certainly don't want us to be creating a situation where we go from having deadlines that are so short as to be, in my view, unrealistic and detrimental to policy development, but on the other hand, leaving things so open-ended that there really isn't any impetus to keep the process moving. And also kind of following up on Mike's points, I do agree that there are some deadlines in here that I think we probably can keep. But I do think what would probably be helpful would be to, have, if we are, for example, going to say, okay, 35 days for constituency statements worked, maybe this is a good time to have everybody go back to the constituencies and say, okay, if we agree to this now, then this is what we're agreeing to. Do we have any legitimate reason why we can't agree to a 35-day? But basically, the point would be to just identify what we can agree to now and why.
Okay.
But make sure that we're not going to come back and, at the next PDT and say, okay, 35 days for constituency statements is not enough, because, I think that undermines the credibility of the council.
Okay. Before I try to sum up, did anybody else want to comment? Okay. I think I've heard enough to sort of say that the motion as I wrote it does not really have the support because of the notion of removing the timing requirements. And I got more the impression that people are more comfortable with on a case-by-case basis. So that would mean today, after we got the report on the IGO DRP proposal, then basically we would actually have to hold three votes. One vote, are we ready to vote, or do we want to set a time schedule? And then if the impression or the feeling is that we are ready, then we actually move into it, as opposed to doing a catch-all motion that basically removes that constraint. Is that a correct interpretation of what people are saying?
I would say so.
Sorry. I guess I should have asked the negative. Is that an erroneous interpretation of what people are saying?
I'm not quite sure I understand, Aubrey.
What I'm saying is basically, instead of the motion I've offered to remove timing requirements, what I've gotten the impression is that on a case-by-case basis, once, and so, for example, once we've heard the report from staff, the overview on the IGO DRP, we check to see whether we are ready to vote on a PDP, and if we are not, when we will be ready. For example, I had originally suggested that we would be voting on that 31 August. So at that point, we sort of say, we make an agreement to vote on that 31 August, whether that's a motion, it should be a motion, to vote on that 31 August, and then that's when we do the vote. Or, if we're ready, we vote on a PDP now.
Avery, are you saying that you're withdrawing that proposed motion under this item?
First, it actually hasn't been seconded yet, so
okay.
Yes. Basically, I'm saying it sounds like I should withdraw it.
Yeah, okay.
And so, is that an erroneous impression? It isn't. Okay. Then we'll proceed on that basis, and I just really wanted to resolve what we wanted to do before we went into having to do something. Okay, and perhaps if we find that there's more issue, when we meet face-to-face in L.A., perhaps we can talk about how we deal with the fact that we are stretching our timings in the bylaws and whether it's reasonable to craft something slightly different than what I said, indicating that we're doing it to the board so that it's all done very openly. Okay, to move on, or would anyone else like to comment before we move on? Okay, in which case, let's move to intergovernmental organization dispute resolution process. And I guess it's Olaf, are you going to give us the verbal introduction to that report?
I will be happy to do so, yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So, what has happened since San Juan, as agreed in San Juan, staff has drafted a draft intergovernmental organization, the main name dispute resolution procedure, which would then, with a view that this would apply to the second level or for new GTLDs. That is sort of the purpose of the drafting at this point in time. The report, which was sent to you on the 28th of September, which was just on the deadline, even though it was only 28th of September at that particular moment in Hawaii, I believe, but it was on the 28th. And I hope you've had a chance to check it out. But let's put it like this. There is a draft text for dispute resolution procedure in it, and it's an introductory piece about how the mechanisms would function, how this could be grafted into, then, for example, referenced in the new GTLD registry agreement, and they then, by consequence, referenced into the registrar agreements as they become accredited for these new GTLDs. So, but when it comes to the text, it's pretty lengthy because it's written following the template, rather, of the UDRP. And, the basis for it, for the drafting, comes mostly from the work that the Joint Working Group did on WIPO 2 back in 2004. Then it was conceived as an integral part of the UDRP, but as the council opted for rather to draft it as a separate text, and that's what has been done. And I think I'd draw your attention to, well, the key provisions, since it's pretty lengthy, like the UDRP, but the key provisions are really that when you do have a dispute between an IGO complainant then and a domain name holder, well, the grounds for the complaint would be threefold. Either that the registration or use of the domain name with the name or abbreviation of an IGO is of a nature to suggest to the public that there exists a connection between the domain name holder and the complainant. Or mislead the public as to the existence of a connection between the domain name holder and the IGO. Or that the registration of use as a domain name or a name or abbreviation of an IGO is protected under an international treaty in a sense that it would violate the terms of that treaty. And I try to, first of all, the first two, well, I think you need to be more of a legal expert to make the distinction between the two. I see there's been quite substantial overlap. But let's see if we can make an example. For example, if we have a new domain, top-level domain, call it .music, and we have Mr. Daltrey, those of us who are sufficiently old to remember the Who, and he would like to register who.music, which of course then would be the acronym of the World Health Organization. Now, the question then would be, and the complainant, in order to object to that, would have to claim that this would suggest that there exists a connection, or to mislead the public there exists a connection. I think it's doubtful that a panel would judge it in that way. But anyway, that's one ground. And the second, well, actually, two different, the A and B there on page 7. And then have on the ground that the registration or use as a domain name of a name or abbreviation of the complainant protected under an international treaty violates the terms of that treaty. Now, this is a rather specific provision because I've asked WIPO for examples of where the use of the name or abbreviation is included in the treaty text. And they gave me one example only. There are probably more, but that was the Red Cross. There are particular provisions in the Red Cross treaty then, which stipulates what you can do or not to do with the name. And that it would then be a violation of it to have that used as a domain name, or the use of the domain name would be contrary to the treaty. So these are the three key points. And I also want to draw your attention to that they are not, like in the UDRP, they're not and conditions. These are or conditions. And reasonably confident that this mirrors the WIPO 2 recommendation. And that's what has been the objective of this drafting exercise. And, well, as I said, well, the purpose was that this would apply for new DTLDs. And the question arises, of course, well, what about the existing DTLDs? And that's where PDP was considered, or at least something could PDP could be considered. Should I leave it at that? Is that sufficient introduction? I'm happy to take questions and comments.
One thing I'd like you to include, because that's one of the things we'll have to deal with in terms of our decisions today, is to quickly go through the staff recommendations that you have on page 16 and top of page 17, just to make sure that those are understood.
Then you're back at the issues report, I think.
Yes, because, and it, just to make sure that we bring those back, because those are the things in a, that we need to decide on today, too.
Okay.
Whether we, in other words, whether we proceed on a, or give us, I guess perhaps not from the issues report, but the staff recommendation in terms of a decision now going forward, whether we need to vote on a PDP process or not. What is the staff's recommendation in that?
Well, in short, it would be to launch a PDP for its application of the text to existing DGLDs.
And you're recommending that that is something that we should initiate at this point?
Well, when you're ready for that decision, it is for the existing DGLDs, I realize that they have a need to read this a little more carefully, and today or at a future date, but that such a PDP be launched.
Ivory, I have a question.
Certainly, and anyone else want to get in the queue at this point?
Mike Rodenbaum, please.
Okay, Mike, anyone else?
I may, Ivory, it's Christina.
Yeah, I'll hit it.
Okay.
I'll hit it.
And Philip, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Chuck.
I'm not sure why we're differentiating between new TLDs and existing TLDs with regard to this particular proposed policy. It seems to me that a PDP would need to be done in either case because it is a very significant policy issue. If you implement something like this in new TLDs, the bottom line is that there's going to be pressure, even more pressure than towards implementing it on existing TLDs, and I think it creates a bad situation. So why are we making that distinction?
My interpretation of that is that, this was discussed during the PDP for the new TLDs, and there's been considerable input from the GAC that such provisions should be there. It was stated pretty rapidly, I think, that it wouldn't be part of the reserved names. It shouldn't be a reserved names issue, but rather should be on a dispute resolution track.
And I know that we briefly discussed this particular topic. I don't think we spent very much time on it, but I don't recall any decision by the committee in terms of this being a part of the new TLD process.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, if I remember correctly, in terms of new TLDs, we did not put it in the it's in the objection process, not in the reserved names, and I don't believe we did anything about it at the second level, which is where the issue in relation to the current TLDs would reside.
Reed, this is Dan. If I could jump in really quick.
Sure.
Just to clarify, I think we're a little bit off the track here. I don't think Olaf's report is not an issues report. It should not be considered as an issues report. We're not into the PDP here. Staff isn't asking council to initiate a PDP here. We're not even at step one of the PDP. Like, an issue has not been raised. So an Olaf's report goes more into the background of how it came to be and what this report is and the 2004. I think you actually need to go back to an earlier report Olaf did with actual next steps and what staff was recommending. But just to clarify that this is not a, we're not at, wherever we are on the other proto PDPs here. We're not at
Well, we
step
are.
One or two or three.
If I can disagree, and then we'll go back to the queue. We had a pending issues report that we basically delayed the vote on voting for a PDP until such time as this report came out. Now that this report is out, it puts that issues report vote back on the table. At least that's my understanding of what we did. And so we had a pending issues report with a pending requirement to vote on a PDP. Now, we can delay it further, but that's why I believed that the PDP vote was on the table at this point, because the requirement that we said, well, we need this first, has been met.
Okay, Ivory, thanks. Could you please point me to the minutes where we had the vote? And I apologize also, thank you for clarifying that, because just as a caveat, I missed a good chunk of work since San Juan due to family issues, so I'm happy to catch up, and sorry if I was wrong on that.
Okay.
I
don't have the minutes in front of me to be able to point to which ones. I'd have to go back and get that.
It was 24th May 2007. I just pulled up.
Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah. So anyhow, going on, Mike, you were the next one in the queue.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I have the same concern about differentiating between existing and new TLDs here. I've understood the whole purpose of this was to look at existing TLD registration. That was the impetus for this from WIPO. Two other kind of fundamental questions are, why a change in the substantive rules of the UDRP for this situation? In other words, why is the element of bad faith thrown out, and also the element, the element of legitimate or no legitimate interest?
May I answer to that?
Please.
Well, what we did here is not to mirror the UDRP, but to mirror the WIPO2 recommendation, and there are no such bad faith provisions provided there. So the purpose of this draft is really to mirror what was said in the WIPO2.
So I'm definitely playing catch up on this issue. I've not been tracking it that far back. I'd understood the fundamental reason to do this or to look at this issue was because IGOs did not want to be subject to court jurisdiction in the event of an appeal of a UDRP decision. So in my mind, where this needed to go was to develop an appeal process from a UDRP decision.
And that's, I forgot to mention it, but that's covered as well. But that was part of the WIPO2 recommendation.
Where's the appeal process covered in here? I looked for it.
Well, it's actually, since it is covered, now let's see how we best describe that. Give me a second for that, because that's in the...
Mike, it's Christina. If I could jump in, I think it's partly covered within the scope of the definition of mutual jurisdiction, which is on page 11.
It's partly there and partly in the later, what comes in the regulation.
Okay.
But the idea is that it wouldn't go to... a court, but it would go to an arbitration or arbitral tribunal, I think was the expression that they used at the time.
Thank you. Christina?
I should say at the outset that notwithstanding the fact that the ICC is the constituency that requested the issues report, that we have not had a chance to fully review and discuss this, particularly in light of some of the significant departures between this proposed procedure and the UDRP. The other question that I would ask, simply because I don't have enough experience with regard to the PDP, is that would it be possible to proceed with a PDP even if at the outset there was a recognition that certain aspects of what had been set forth would require change? And that's just a question as to how the PDP process works. I don't know the answer to that, and that would be helpful for me to know.
In terms of a task force, we would need to, within 10 days, set up the charter of that task force's requirements. So we'd have a little bit of time, but not much. In terms of a not task force, then we would be going to the constituencies almost immediately for their viewpoints, and they'd have 35 days in which to form those.
All right, thank you.
Philip.
Thanks, Avery. I think we need to clarify two things. I think one of which is process and where we are, and the second is specific content. And I think the questions we've had already raised have highlighted some potential confusion in terms of direction. I think first on process, I think Avery, as you rightly said, we have a pending issues report asking the question: is an issue to be addressed? I think council was broadly comfortable with that, although we didn't formally vote to say probably there was an issue, and why don't we have a look at what some sort of process might look like, and that's the nature of the report in front of us. It's mapping out what a process might look like. And I regard that as merely a proposal to be improved by a BDP process. I think just my comment on the two issues that have been raised. At the moment, I think the BC's concern and that of others, I think, may be that because the current criteria for being able to object is formulated by these three or clauses, the ability is very wide. Now, that has been predicated because of thinking that this might apply mostly or only to future TLDs, in which point, so long as the two things come along simultaneously, there's no unfairness because you're indicating to anybody who might be going for a name, be aware. If it's something like this, you could lose it. Now, if we want a policy that is more unitary, which means it applies to all names, past and future, then I think we need to look more carefully at the reasons for being able to get a name. And we need to introduce the concept of unfairness or bad faith in order for a name to come back. And the reason for that, of course, would be a desire to prevent reverse domain name hijacking, when basically we'd then be removing a name that's existed in good faith simply because of a new process. So I think those questions are ones that need to be answered, but we don't need to answer them now. All we need, I think, to agree upon is that those are the sort of things that the PDP would address and improve upon.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to reopen the queue in a second, but one of the things that I'd like to also find out from people that speak up next is whether they believe that we should vote for the PDP now or whether we should delay that vote until the 31st. Of October in our meeting in LA. Would anyone like to speak at the moment in the queue?
Ari, this is Dan again. If I could try and dig myself out of the hole there. The nut of what I wanted to say was that to remind that staff is not recommending launching a PDP right now, and that comes out of the documents you guys pointed me to back from June, the issues report. Staff does not recommend a PDP on this at this point.
Yes, no. Thank you. I was pretty sure that was the recommendation, and thank you for stating it. Does not recommend, but you did, the other part of that question is that the staff did indicate that they did believe it was in scope, but that they weren't recommending it at this time.
May I just quickly comment on that? If you read on to the following page, it says, what has been developed, which is now, staff recommends that the GNS of Council consider launching a PDP to investigate its application to existing GTLD.
Yep.
I think, well, we didn't recommend it at that point in time, no. But with delayed release, so to speak.
So you recommend consideration now, which is obviously what we're doing. Okay, would anyone... like to comment further?
Well, just to your original question, Avery, I mean, I think, to my mind, I mean, we're at the point of a process where we recognize that there's an issue to be addressed, and
and we may as well vote to proceed with it, in the knowledge that I think probably we're going to take the draft alternative dispute resolution process as a proposal and probably make changes to it.
Okay, I have a question. Do you believe that we know exactly what we want to do a PDP on? Or do we need further discussion on that? And just to add, what I thought was the situation is that, yes, there's most probably the need for PDP here yet, but I don't think we were quite at the point where we knew exactly what we wanted to, and that's why I'm sort of proposing that we take another 2 weeks to understand exactly what we were trying to do.
Well, I think the fundamental question is, are we looking at a proposal to apply to names past and future, or only future?
Yeah, I think that's part of a lengthy discussion that we've obviously just opened, and that was one of the reasons why I did set aside time on our weekend discussion to go through some of this, and that did make it part of the open meeting process also, so that once we made this decision, we would have had a chance to discuss that.
Aubrey, this is Chuck, and I do think that we need to have those discussions before we make any decisions.
Would anyone else like to comment? Can I then make a motion that we postpone the decision to initiate this PDP until the meeting of 31st August?
October.
October.
Sorry, God. Yes, 31st. Move to postpone. Postpone decision to initiate PDP until open meeting of 31 October 2007, just to be explicit. Is there someone that would second that?
I seconded Norbert.
Thank you, Norbert. Norbert seconds. Any objection to taking a voice vote on this? In which case, would those who support this motion please say aye?
Aye.
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 Would those against this motion please say nay? No nays. Would anyone like to abstain from this motion? Okay, so we have decided to postpone the decision to initiate this PDP until the open meeting of 31 October 2007. Thank you, and thank you, Ola, for the report. Next one is domain tasting report and decision on next step. I recommend that we basically go through having Mike give a report and then go through the recommendations and go through the same decision process that we just went through. Are we ready? Do we postpone? If we're ready, then we vote now. If not, we postpone. So, Mike? Would you like to report on the domain tasting report?
Yes, sorry, I was on mute. From memory at the moment, Microsoft has just decided to...
You sound like you're very, very far away in sync.
All right, how's that? Is that better?
That's much better, thank you.
Okay, sorry. All right, I'm trying to load the report back in front of me, but I'll start from memory here. We were tasked with accumulating factual information in regards to the issues outlined in staff's issues report on domain tasting. The group met almost every week for several months, pulled together much information, particularly in the form of a questionnaire that went out to all of the constituencies. We got, I think, 200 responses or so back. The vast majority of them definitely had an issue with domain tasting and wanted to see some sort of resolution to the issue. I don't know how much detail you want me to go into in the report in each of the sections. We also have a section in there from the registrar's constituency on various non-tasting uses that they have for the AGP, which I think is significant. We have some good factual information in there from the registries in the form of tick graphs and tables, stats from Newstar and Affiliates. I guess I'd just open up the questions if anybody has.
Okay, yeah, I'd like then to open it up to questions, but first I'd like to get you to sort of indicate what the recommendation is. Again, we had a request for a PDP, we had an issues report, we basically made a decision to proceed along the lines of doing this ad hoc group to gather the information. The ad hoc group has now gathered the information and reported on it, and we're at the point now of deciding whether we're ready to start a PDP, well, actually, whether we're ready to vote on starting a PDP, and if we are ready to vote on starting a PDP, you know, the two questions that cascade from that. So if you could just go into your recommendations and the whys, and then we can open it up for discussion.
Okay. Well, I mean, the group didn't really consider that question. I guess I would just, it seems to me that a PDP in some sense was initiated when we voted to request an issues report from staff. That's not accurate, or?
No, actually, that's sort of the pre-PDP. It's once we receive the issues report, then we vote on the PDP process. In this case, we decided to do an ad hoc of more information gathering before the vote.
Fair enough. Our group was not asked to make any sort of recommendations. What we were asked to do was draft terms of reference that could be considered by the council, essentially as a first draft in the event that the council did want to move forward with the PDP. And so we did that, came to some draft terms of reference, which I essentially mirrored in my initial motion to the council earlier this week. You know, subsequently, I went back and looked at the PDP rules and the annex and all, and seemed like there very well could be another option that I hadn't been aware of beforehand, which is to move forward with the PDP without a task force, I think is appropriate here. But again, that was not anything that was considered by the group. I don't think it was within our mandate in the group. So.
Right. Could you quickly go over the terms of reference you're recommending?
Yes. And,
they're on page 32.
Sorry, I again got to pull up the document. Just rebooted. It was essentially to acknowledge the report, of course, and then to do a two-step analysis, which was look at all of the different factual outcomes. Hold on here, I'll just read the text. So review and assess all the effects of domain tasting activities that have been identified and judge whether those effects justify measures to be taken to improve domain tasting. If yes, then consider potential impacts of various measures that could be taken and recommend measures designed to improve domain tasting.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to now sort of open up the discussions on both the issue of the terms of reference, the report, and also on whether we are ready to proceed on the recommendation for PDP. So who would like to be in the queue?
Aubrey, I would. It's Ross.
Ross, anyone else in the initial queue? Philip, what did I hear?
Denise,
anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Ross.
I'd ask a question on the list of votes, getting a little bit of further information from staff. From my perspective, actually taking a vote on this question is kind of, at least from my perspective, contingent upon having that information. I was wondering if there was any update on that request.
Would anyone from staff like to respond to that question?
I've seen the question. I'm sorry, I don't have that kind of information. I've not seen any such, but that doesn't mean that there hasn't been any. So I think this is We expect an answer from operations staff actually dealing with the matter. I don't know if anybody else, Kurt is on the call, if he can comment upon
it. Yeah. Is that a question that's being reviewed, researched at this point?
Yes, I mean the question has gone
yes.
Operations.
Okay, thank you. Did anyone else want to comment on that question before I moved on in the queue?
I'd comment on it and just say that I agree with Ross. I would love to have that information as well. On the other hand, that provision has been in the REA now for 2 years while this activity has gone on, so it seems clear that something is wrong with the policy. And did not necessarily sidetrack moving towards resolving these issues, because they have been outstanding for a long time now, and there are a lot of folks in the community that are quite upset about the situation.
Mike, what you're describing, though, is that there is a, depending on the answers that come back, you're either describing a failure in policy or a failure in enforcement. Without the benefit of that data, you can't make that determination. That's the question I'm really asking here.
I don't know. I would say that I can make the determination anyway, because the policy, to the extent it's existed, it certainly hasn't been enforced or has not been understood.
Well, if it's not being enforced, what, okay.
Yeah, I'd like to hold, actually, the debate for a bit. Philip, you're next in the queue.
Yeah, just a workload question. How, now that we've closed down a couple of them, how many PDPs do we currently have running? Not many, I guess. Is that correct?
I don't actually believe we have any running at the moment. We've got three on our plate to start.
Yeah.
Oh, and actually, we're just starting the one the we've got the work on the registrar transfer policy plan where we're waiting for an issues report. So we've got four candidates
and
other work. But
right, we've got things coming up, but we haven't actually got anything running today.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay,
just a comment in that regard, Aubrey, with regard to workload. We should also anticipate workload with regard to GNSO improvements.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I was just trying to answer the question on... But we don't know when the board is actually going to finish that one, so.
I believe that the plan is for them to put some stuff on the table before the LA meetings for discussion there, and I don't think it's unreasonable to think that there will be some follow-up work on that after LA.
It's possible. You're right. Denise.
Yes. Actually, to pick up on the last point that Chuck mentioned, by the 15th, the Board Governance Committee will post a new draft final report for the GNSO and community's consideration, and it will be discussed at the workshop scheduled on GNSO improvements for Monday in LA. After the workshop, the Board Governance Committee will move to finalize this report and submit it to the board for board action. And the report does include an extensive amount of proposed work for the GNSO Council in particular. I wanted to note on domain name tasting, I've secured economic research assistance, so we'll be providing a proposed scope of work to the council to consider. CRA Associates has been retained to do some additional research in this area for us, so we'll be following up with the council on that shortly.
Okay, thank you. Would anyone else like to be in the queue to comment at this point?
A response to Denise.
I have a question about...
Okay, please. Okay, so I have Chuck, then I have Mike,
Christina.
Then anyone else?
Christina, please.
Christina, anyone else? Okay, Chuck.
Denise, is it reasonable to think that... having the information that the consultant is obtaining would be helpful before we actually initiate a PDP?
I think it's certainly relevant and would be informative. So, of course, that's a council call. Yeah.
Sure, thanks.
Okay, Mike.
Could you talk a little bit about what exactly this economist would be doing? And just, you know, background for the rest of the council is that this notion of doing an economic study was raised by Kurt Pritz literally in the first meeting of our ad hoc group. And, you know, we tried to follow up on it several times after that, like four or five times, and never got a response. So
I'm frankly shocked to hear it mentioned today.
Well, I hope you're sitting down. I didn't mean to shock you. We're, this is not a simple tasking, either to scope it or to find the economists and researchers that have the ability to conduct this type of research. So we're now at the point where we can go forward with it. We want to do that in close coordination with the council. And as I mentioned, we'll be taking all the work of the working group that just concluded, using that as a starting point and providing a scope of work for council input before we move forward with this.
Okay, thanks. Christina?
I have two questions. I apologize to you, but I still don't really understand what the economic study is intended to look at, and was hoping you could maybe provide a little bit more detail on that.
Sure, and as Mike mentioned, this certainly came out of initial conversations and requests from his group, the need to augment the research and data gathering that has been done by that group by additional research. And so Olaf and Patrick are working on a specific sort of scope of research and building on what the working group has done, and we want to provide that to the council and get input. Things such as a performance analysis on ad grade deletes and major detailees. And I think there's a number of other data points that would be useful for the council to have in this area.
Okay, thanks.
It's Alan. Can I have a...
I'm actually not done. Just to kind of follow up on that, I realize that this is just getting started in terms of scoping it out, and the authorization has just been obtained. Do you have a time frame, just even a general time frame as to when there might be an expectation that that work would be completed?
I'll really need to have some back and forth with the researchers before I can give you a definitive answer on that or even a good guess.
Okay.
So I'd expect to be able to come back in the next week and a half with an answer on that.
All right. But it would be safe to say that there's no way that data would be available by our October 31st meeting?
Absolutely no way.
Okay. All right. That's what I thought. And my other question actually was also a timing-related question. To the extent that there's anyone from the operational side of staff that knows, is it going to be possible to get answers to the questions that Ross has posed by October 31st?
Kurt may have had to drop off the call. I'll make sure that we follow up with services staff on this, and I'll send an email to the list by close of business today about the response to that email.
Thank you. I had Alan. Did anyone else want to be in the queue at this point? Okay, Alan.
Yeah, I was going to ask about time frames also. It sounds like from what Denise is saying that we're probably looking at months, not days and weeks, or even a few weeks. Given that the initial requirement, again, if we go back to bylaws, the GNSO had 15 days after submission of the issues report to decide on a PDP or not. I don't think I'd like to see waiting months before we do it.
Okay, I certainly, I was thinking of offering a motion of delaying until the 31st of October as I had originally tried the plan, not so much that we'll have the information by then, but that we should have a better idea at that point of what our time frames are in terms of getting decisions, in terms of getting the economist analysis, et cetera. So while we wouldn't have the data by then, we would have the by then. But in a sense, you're right. Voting for it now and then just not having any idea of our framework for it until then, or voting for it, then it's probably not that much difference. Does anyone want to speak to the notion of whether we're ready to vote now versus waiting a week and a half and having a little bit more information about the scheduling of things?
Chuck does.
Philip does. And Philip.
And Chris.
Chuck. Ross. Philip. Christina. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Chuck.
I'll be very brief.
I do not have, Carrie and Edmund alike, we do not have direction from our constituency yet on this issue. There's been some discussion since the report came out, but it's not conclusive. So I would have, if a vote happens today, I would have to abstain.
Okay, thank you, Brock.
Yeah. You know, similarly, I don't think we've had an in-depth consultation with her constituency. You know, generally, I think I understand where we stand on the issues, but more time would be useful. Certainly, I have nothing but questions about this. Without the benefit of the answers to the questions that I've asked, and probably others, I don't feel prepared to initiate a PDP on this at this point. I think we are running down towards a set of conclusions that will likely be unenforceable if we don't actually take the time to answer the questions that have been asked.
Okay, thank you. Philip?
I look at this from a sort of slightly more high-level public interest perspective, and here we have something where we are trying to correct harm that is out there, and I think it behoves us to act, therefore, as swiftly as possible, and to force timelines and to push staff to get us information, etc. So I think we are rather, we'll be rather betraying our rationale and our duty to fulfill that public interest obligation if we don't recognize that in this case, simply sitting on it or talking about timelines or what would be nice to have is a sufficient reason for delay. So I would wish to see us all saying, yes, we recognize there's a problem, let's go ahead with it as quickly as possible.
So in other words, you're suggesting that we need to vote on it today?
Correct.
I just wanted to be clear. Excuse me?
Can you put me back in the queue, please, Aubrey?
Yeah, I'd like to speak, Tony Harris.
Okay, I heard Tony first, and then I heard Ross, but I have Christina at the moment.
I have very conflicting views, frankly, as to whether we vote today or whether we vote October 31st, although I've conspicuously not chosen after October 31st as an option. I do think that this is an issue that the community is very interested in, and I do think, frankly, if we are going to make the effort to try and restructure our own public meetings in such a way so that we can take into account public comment, then I think, frankly, there's really no harm by waiting another, 20 days so that we can give all of the participants at LA an opportunity to essentially make their voices heard.
Okay, thank you.
Avery, could you in the clue, Al, in the list?
Okay, I've got Alan after Ross. Tony?
Yes, actually, what I wanted to say is just being said, I echo those words. We'd like to wait until Los Angeles to have an opportunity for our full constituency to really discuss this.
Okay, thank you. Ross?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify my remarks. I think typically Philip has mischaracterized them. I'm interested in solving this problem today. I do not believe that we need to engage a policy development process to solve this problem. There are at least three methods by which we could act today to solve this problem. And rather than sitting around and talking about new policy to replace old policy that's not being paid attention to, I would like to explore that immediate solution first.
So you're actually recommending that we do vote today?
No, I'm recommending that there are practical steps that need to be explored to make this problem go away immediately. I do not believe that this is an issue for policy development in any way.
But are these steps the GNSO can take?
Okay, yeah, Alan, you were next anyway. Okay.
I'd like to hear the answer to that question, but the point I was going to make is I can certainly live with delaying till October 31st over today. As Christine, I would not like to see it delayed anymore, and I think whatever verbiage we use in saying we're delaying cannot be related to the larger study Denise was talking about. That makes it look like we are delaying ad infinitum and abrogating our public responsibility.
No, I'm going to offer the motion, having heard, and I'm going to actually not do a voice vote on it because I believe that, and I'm going to ask for a polling vote on it. But I'm basically moving to postpone decision to initiate PDP
PDP until open meeting of 31 October 2007. Basically the same motion we voted on for the previous one. I don't know if I have a second on that.
I'll second it, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck. Now I'd like to ask if there's any discussion on that before I call for a roll call on this motion.
Aubrey, it's Christine. I just want to make sure that I'm clear that the motion would in fact mean that we will in fact vote.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just clarifying that. Thank you.
Yep. It's postpone it until then.
Right, but
and
we will vote on that day.
We will vote, or we would have to vote on postponing it again, which would probably be suicidal in the public meeting. I probably should have said that on a recording, but anyway. Okay. Would anyone else like to discuss it before I call for a roll call?
Yeah, this is Robin. I just have a quick comment.
Yep.
Yeah, I think just in the interest of having an opportunity to adequately discuss the matter with the different constituencies and also given the need for input from the public on the 31st, I support your motion that we postpone this decision until that time.
Okay, thank you. Okay. If there are no more questions on it, I'd like to ask for a roll call on this one. So, Glenn, can you call the roll for the vote?
Yes, certainly, Abby. Can you hear me?
Yes,
Philip Shepard?
No.
Mark Rodenbach?
Abstain.
Christina Rosett? Christina?
No, I'm And vote for yes is to vote on October 31st. To vote for no would be to vote today. Is that right?
So you vote?
I'm voting yes.
Yes. Cyril Chua has left the call. Tony Harris?
Yes, I make the same observation. I vote yes if yes means we put this forward to Los Angeles.
Greg Ruth?
Yes.
Robin Grass?
Yes.
Norbert Klein?
Yes.
Milwaukee Chango?
Yes.
Ross Schrader?
Yes.
Tom Keller?
Yes.
Terry Cobb?
Yes.
Edmund Chun?
Yes.
That was yes? Chuck Gomes?
Yes.
Avery Doria?
Yes.
And Sophia is not on the line. So we have... ...17 in favor, one vote as an abstention, and one vote no. So the motion passes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so that will be on, it is already on the agenda, and that will be voted on the 31st. Thank you. The next item on our agenda deals with the Registrar Transfer Policy Plan. On September 20th, we resolved the GNIS Council form a short-term planning group to analyze and prioritize the policy issues raising the report communication to GNSL on policy issues arising from transfer review before we further consider a PDP on any of the work discussed in the report. So the thing was for this meeting was to come prepared to suggest members for the short-term planning group. It's very important that the group get started at this meeting. We should at least be able to get some initial members for the group and then allow a week or so to see if there are any additions. The key issue will be identifying a leader for the group. So what I'd like to first propose is that we find out if there are any volunteers to lead this group. I don't believe that the leader of the group needs to be a member of council, needs to be somebody who's willing to do it. I don't believe that one needs to be a member of this, one needs to be a counselor to be a member of this group, though I think it's good to have some council members at least participate. So I'd like to open discussions, and I'd especially like to open volunteering.
Hi, Albert, it's Ross. I have some spare time coming up. I'd be happy to help out.
And when you say happy to help out, you mean participate or function as lead of the group?
Sure. Either. Both.
Either. Okay. So either lead or participate. So participate for sure and lead if that works out. Okay. Would anyone else like to speak on this?
Aubrey.
Either willing.
Chuck. Okay. Barbara Steele, who is willing to participate on this group. And I do have a question. Ross raised a question via email today. Do we need an issues report on this?
There were two aspects to the resolution, yeah. Chuck. One related to initiating a PDP on a very specific set of issues. I don't have the wording off the top of my head. The other was to for council to prioritize the set of issues for future PDP work that weren't specifically addressed by that last report.
Right. So, yeah, we have an issues report. It's listed in the – I'm not sure I've got the dates right. We get to that when we do our action report, if we get to it, which was an issues report was due October 12th from staff, if I had that correct.
May I comment on that?
Please do.
Just to give a very, very quick update, I don't think that Karen Lentz is on the call, but she has been drafting it, and
yeah.
It's in a very advanced state of readiness, and, well, it's a final check from the legal department that's going on right now. So
it sounds like the 12th is realistic. That was the date she had given me, so it sounds like it's still a good date.
I certainly hope so.
Okay, and that means that we will have that in time to consider that in L.A. We'll have to get that onto the schedule. Would anyone else like to speak either in terms of leadership, support of Ross as leading the group? Who else would like to participate? You can volunteer yourself or people from your constituency who you know are willing. So far, we have a registrar and a registry person on it. Are there people from other constituencies that are interested in participating in this short-term planning group for analyzing and prioritizing policy issues?
This is Observer Tim.
Observer
sure
Tim, yes.
But
yes.
I just wanted to, I would be interested in participating and would support Ross's leadership.
Okay, thank you.
Whatever it is.
Thank you. And yes, actually, that's fantastic. Anyone else like to? So at the moment we have three people in support for Ross as leader of the group. Do we have any other comments? Other additions?
Avery, it's Alan.
Alan?
I can't participate myself, but I may have someone, but I can't put a name
okay.
for at the moment.
Okay, so you will look into volunteering someone.
Yes.
This is Robin.
Yes, Robin.
Yeah, I'd like to make a similar comment that I'll consult with our constituency and we'll appoint someone to represent us in that group.
Okay.
It's Tom Ivory. I would be interested as well. If it's
Tom.
Not already enough registrars on that group.
I guess we're up to three registrars. I think that's probably enough, especially if one of them is leading it and therefore going to be in the neutral role.
Aubrey, it's Christina. I'll consult with the ICC folks and get back to you with somebody.
Okay. We'll volunteer someone.
Likewise.
Okay. I've heard nobody else volunteering to lead it. Am I correct in assuming that there is no objection to appointing Ross to lead the short-term planning group? Okay, Ross, on hearing no objection, you've got it. You've got your first set of volunteers. You've got other people to approach about the volunteers they said they would provide. And then you can work on with staff in terms of scheduling calls and such. Who from staff will be working with Ross on this, Denise?
That'll be Karen Lentz and Olaf.
That'll be Karen. Okay, I kind of assumed that but didn't want to assume. Thank you.
And what's your budget, Aubrey?
Excuse me?
I'm kidding.
Excuse me, I don't understand that question.
Unlimited, Ross.
Sky's the limit.
You said it, Denise. It's recorded. Okay. Then any more discussion on register transfer policy plan agenda item? Okay. The next item we had was any other business. Nothing was recorded at the beginning. Does anybody have anything at the moment that they'd like to add?
Not to add, never mind. Just to follow up on something.
Is this something that will hit in the action item review, or?
Oh, okay, yeah, probably.
Okay. But, you know, if we don't, then we can come back to it and add it at the end.
Perfect, yeah.
Okay, in which case, if there's nothing else there, I'd like to go through the action item. I sent it out, or I guess Glenn sent it out. First item on the oldest item was the Who Is Working Group report, and we basically had constituency updates by October 4th. I think most were in, but I believe Liz was still tracing down some.
There are two we haven't gotten yet, and I'm not sure. I just followed up again today. I'm not sure we'll get them, but I will be releasing the updated staff report later today.
Because that was listed for the 11th. Okay.
Right.
You had your study to date report, which you did release on October 5th.
Quick question, Aubrey. Will the report that comes out later today include the constituency statements?
It will for the ones that I've received.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I think that, you know, we did have a deadline of the 4th, and it's now the 11th, so, you know, but, okay. October 15th was listed as the date for releasing updated implementation notes from the staff. Is that still a good date?
It's still a good date, and maybe even come out today. I'm just confirming before I send them. Ideally, I'd like to send them today along with the updated staff report.
Thanks. And then I guess as soon as the things are uploaded, no later than the 15th, but as soon as things are uploaded, we'll begin the second public comment period. And obviously starting today or tomorrow is best, but the 15th is listed as the date. And we've already been collecting comments, or at least where we've been open to comments. I actually haven't gone and looked at what's been gotten since the current draft went out. So have we incidentally gotten comments on the first draft? Does anyone know? Has anyone checked?
We checked. I don't believe. I think there was maybe one short comment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. So things seem to be running on the schedule on the Who Is Working Group report, and this is definitely on the agenda for a vote in LA. New GTLDs. We spent a lot of time on it today. The draft supplemental document was available for review. Finalized workshop plans and supplemental document were finished by the 8th, and public distribution of plans and doc was scheduled for the 9th. That happens then, correct, or it happens?
Yes, the supplemental document actually went out, I think, today,
okay.
but yeah, that's all happened.
Just
a reminder, the draft presentation, which isn't listed here, will be sent to all of you late next Tuesday, and there'll be about no more than a week turnaround for any comments or input, so just please remember to do that.
Okay, I will add that to the next copy of this.
Yeah, and if we don't receive any, we'll assume there are none so that then we can finalize the presentation.
Okay, then the next item was the IGO issues follow-up. We had the 28th for a report that happened. We had October 11th for a discussion that happened. We had October 31st for open discussion and decision. I will change that to open discussion and vote, just so it's explicit. Any comment on that one? That one's proceeding on our schedule. Domain tasting issues follow-up, October 4th, Mike, report from the group. We had that. October 11th, we had a discussion. And October 31st, we have open discussion and decision. I will change the decision to vote, even though they're pretty much the same. Based on today's vote, I want to be explicit. Okay, response to board resolution regarding ID and CCTLDs. We have a detailed discussion scheduled for the 27th. We have October 31st, public discussion and possible council action, but it's not explicit, and
you know, we have to decide on our on the 27th whether we want to finalize our report or whether, given everything else that's happened, we want to put out a draft report, but we want to basically watch as everything else develops before finalizing things. I don't want to get into the discussion on it now, but that's something that we need to work through. Certainly GAC and the CCNSO are working on this, but will not have final answers, I believe, in the time frame. The request from the board is that we report on status in LA, and I'll certainly be ready to do that after our discussion. The RN recommendations for existing TLDs, basically, there was a release of status report which has come out, no pending backdated actions, but I don't want to remove this from here yet. Registered transfer policy review, October 11th, form short-term group for prioritization draft, did that October 12th. Release issues report, that was noted as being on schedule. October 19th, release draft advisory for review and comment, is that the Olaf or someone, do you know if that's still on track?
No, I didn't catch you exactly what was...
The October 19th, there was a release draft advisory for review and comment. I got that date recently updated by Karen. I just didn't know if you wanted to add anything on that date.
I don't think I can.
Okay, thank you. Karen's the one that gave me the date of October 19th, so I'm assuming, and I only got it a couple days ago, so I'm assuming that it's still good. Then we had our motion on proxy voting. I did get a draft notice from the legal mail, from the legal department today, from John Jeffries. It was draft. It was only sent to me. I sent email to him asking whether I had permission to forward it publicly. I didn't get a response. But basically, the thing was reiterating an answer they gave us before and explaining that answer, that the bylaws do not permit proxy voting because the bylaws basically are explicit, and Dan can certainly follow up, and as soon as I get permission, I will send on the email, but that the council, that the bylaws are explicit about us being able to communicate with each other at the time of voting, and that they interpret that to mean no proxy. The other part of the vote was, I mean, the other part of the request was, how do we go about getting it changed? And the recommendation from them is that we craft a motion and send it to the board asking for a change in the bylaws that allows us to do that. As I understand it, that is something that the board may consider as part of its reorganization, its GNSO reorg. I don't know, Denise, if you have anything to say on that further. As I say, once I get permission, or Dan, once I get permission from John Jeffries to pass on the draft he sent me, I will send it to the group.
I'm sorry, what is it you need to know?
Huh? Basically, does the board governance group plan include any discussion on proxy voting, or is that something we need to address separately?
They do address the issue of voting, not proxy specifically, but there is a whole range of follow-up implementation action. And
What I recommend is by our face-to-face meeting, we will have, I'm sure I will have permission to have sent forward John Jeffries' response by then. We will have also seen the draft board governance report, and at that time we can decide whether we want to craft a request to the board for a bylaws change or not. So if that's okay with people, I will just basically put an action that says, you know, review this in our face-to-face meeting and then decide at that point. Is that okay? Does anyone object to following it that way? Okay, thanks. Next thing I had there was motion on term limits. I did speak to Roberto. The governance group is definitely including information on this. in their recommendation. And I believe that they are recommending some sort of term limit. We'll see when we get the report where that has come. Then there was another question I have regarding who is motion number two, and a question on whether it was a legitimate motion because it recommended essentially postponing the vote still further. I delayed in sending that motion to legal for an opinion based on my travels. I've just sent it to them. They haven't had a chance to reply to it yet. So I'll respond to that in our face-to-face meeting. And I believe that's happened. Christina, did I cover the one you wanted?
It did, but I do have another one if we've got a minute, and that is, and I frankly don't know how we would go about doing this, but I had a real problem, and I think it's probably true for everyone, given how many substantive long documents were released, like the week before San Juan, I had an incredibly difficult time kind of reading everything and staying on top of everything. Is there any way that we could request that there be kind of a time cutoff in terms of releasing those documents? And you know, frankly, I think that if the Board of Governance report is that long and that involved, I mean, 2 weeks for me at least is going to be tight. But, you know, at a certain point, you just get to the point where you get to the meeting and you're not prepared to talk about all these things because you've just gotten them. Yeah. You know,
Certainly the ones that we have something to say about in scheduling, when we work out our schedules with the staff, we should definitely try to work out something that gives us more time. In terms of the board and things like the board governance, I think all we can do is ask.
All right. Well,
the board has a 2 week advance sort of commitment to post 2 weeks in advance, and that applies to the board governance committee as well. So you can expect the Genocidal Improvements Report to be posted on or before the 15th.
Okay.
And we are trying to hold fast to a two-week schedule and post things further in advance when possible.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. So at this point, we've been through the agenda. I don't know if anyone has anything that needs to be added before I close the meeting. We are 8 minutes over time. Does anyone need to have anything else that needs to be added before I close? No, in which case, in closing, I would like to, first of all, thank our two new members for being here. I hope that the meeting didn't scare them away, and I look forward to having them join us in L.A. as much as they can. I know there may be conflicts. And I'd like to thank you all for everything during the meeting. And we are adjourned.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.